So I don't know if you remember, like, when you were a kid, like the Little Rascals. Remember the show The Little Rascals, and it was a bunch of little kids running around, and they had a dog, and there was Spanky and Alfalfa and all these. You could probably name more of the characters than I could. They had all kinds of adventures, and they did all kinds of things. And one of the things that was kind of part and parcel, I guess, of growing up in the 1930s, you know, we all have our slang, and we all have the mannerisms that we have, and we all have the ways in which we talk. And I guess coming off of the era of the gangsters, one of the things that the kids would do is they go, "Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah." And they'd say, "What's the big idea?" You know, it's kind of like that, I don't know, Al Capone way of talking. "Oh yeah, yeah." And I was looking at our first reading for today, I have no idea why this crept into my head. When two little kids or anybody else does that, "Oh yeah, yeah," it's a battle, right? It's a battle of wills. It's a battle of one side wanting to one-up and beat the other side. And that's definitely what's going on here in our first reading today. We could almost, you know, hear the God kind of, "Oh yeah," the devil, "Yeah." And there's this battle going on back and forth. So there's a slave girl. This is kind of like the backstory of what's going on. There's a slave girl. She has the power of divination, which is a kind of witchcraft. She's possessed by a demon. And so because she's possessed by a demon, she has the power to do this. And so she brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. Well, she follows around Paul and the rest of them. And she cries out, "These men are slaves of the Most High who proclaimed you a way of salvation." Well, I guess she does this for so many days that finally Paul, he gets annoyed. And he turns, he says to this spirit, "I order you to come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out." And it comes out that very hour. It leaves her. It is cast out. And then begins the battle. Then begins the battle. The owners saw that their hope of making money was gone. And boy, if you want to start a battle, and that's even today, right? Where can you hit people? Hit them in their pocketbook. Hit them in their wallet. And then they'll wake up real quick and they'll notice. And that's what's going on here. So all this money's lost. This poor woman, she's been cured. She's been healed. But nobody seems to be very excited about it, except probably her. What do? Here starts the battle. They seize Paul and Silas and drag them into the marketplace before the authorities. And so here's the devil. "Oh, yeah? Well, if you did that to me, I'm going to do this to you." And there we see Paul and Silas dragged into the marketplace before the authorities. "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." So what's the first thing they do? They go to the law. "Well, let's lawyer up. Let's sick the law on. Let's get them in trouble." That's, "Oh yeah, yeah." Okay, so the battle is joined. And then the crowd joins in. Well, that's apparently not good enough. You know, sicking the law on them and not, you know, locking them up for a few days, that's not good enough. There needs to be more. And so the crowd joins in and attacking them. The magistrates have them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods, and it happens. They are given a severe flogging. "Oh yeah? Oh yeah. It's starting to heat up. Oh, you think you're going to get your way? I'm going to get my way." No, back and forth, back and forth. We see this battle playing out between the power of God and the power of the devil. Working through people. But the fruit is different, is it not? Let's keep going. What does the devil offer? The devil offers worldly authority, beating and pain and suffering, and then they order the jailer to keep them securely. They throw them into prison. So even that's not enough. Beating them with rods, getting them in trouble with the law, that's not enough. Oh, yeah, says the devil. Yeah, says back and forth. Here they go. That's not enough. They got to put him in the innermost cell. Put him in the innermost, you know, there's no windows, right? That's akin to solitary confinement. We're not going to give him a window cell. We're going to lock him up where it's as dark as a cave in the innermost cells. And then not only that, we're going to fashion their feet into stocks. And so you can see how it continues to ramp up and ramp up and ramp up. And the way of the world and the way of the devil can only bring increased depression and increased suffering. That is the power of the devil. And so what breaks it? Finally, what pushes it all over the edge? Oh, yeah, yeah. What finally gives the victory to God? Something very simple, but something extremely effective. Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Look at what's happening here. If you can, over the aircraft that's about to take off. Almost. Should we all wave? I don't think they can see us. You'll be soon. About another 30 seconds. I think you can probably hear me now. All right, so what finally pushes it all over the edge? What finally puts it over the breaking point? Paul and Silas doing something very simple, but very effective, very powerful. They start praying and they start singing hymns to God. Where the devil has nothing but violence, suffering, and struggle, God, through Jesus Christ, presents healing and balm and comfort and peace. I think it's starting to get peaceful now. And so they start praying and singing hymns to God, and look at what happens. Look at what happens. The prisoners were listening to them. They're going. The prisoners were listening to them. That's our first clue in the message for today. Our first clue in the message for today is, where does the power of God touch down on the runway or take off, we hope, in a heavenly way? I feel like I'm giving an old Southern revival here. Christine and I just got back from Kentucky and Tennessee. Boy, I'll tell you. Do I hear an amen, brother?
Amen.
All right. They're praying and singing hymns to God. What happens? It becomes contagious, does it not? It becomes contagious. Instead of alienating people and forcing people apart and forcing struggle on people, what do we see? We see people listening in, and not only are they listening in, they begin to join in. The power of God, suddenly in the silence, calls people to listen and to join in. So the prisoners are listening and joining in, and now it's God pushing back. Now it's God going, oh yeah? And the devil doesn't have much to say anymore for the rest of our first reading. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. See, when the Lord becomes involved, it's not about prison. It's not about throwing people into a deep, dark place. It's not, and that can be spiritual and mental as well, is not only physical, right? What is it about? It's about opening things. It's about creating possibilities. It's about chains being unfastened. It's about power entering into people's lives. This poor guard, this poor jailer, he draws his sword. He's about to kill himself. Why? Because he's still under the sway of the devil. He still is thinking in terms of what Rome is expecting of him. Paul shouts, "Do not harm yourself." Why? For we are all here. That sounds strange. Do not harm yourself. We might think Paul would say, well, it's because we're the victors through Jesus Christ. We might think that Paul would say, because you're foolish for killing yourself. Paul reminds this jailer that he is not alone. Paul reminds this jailer that now he can be part of this incredible fellowship. Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. He's also letting the jailer know none of us have escaped. And so the jailer rushes in, falls down. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the heart is open of this man. His mind, his thoughts, his spirit are open. And they answer, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Isn't it beautiful what the instructions are? Notice that Paul doesn't say, well, first you got to do this, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do this, and then, oh, by the way, you also have to do this, and then that just gets you past the first point. And then it's not a bunch of rules and strictures to keep a person imprisoned and keep them down. Instead, it's as simple as what's going on inside one's heart and mind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see the earthquake? Do you see the chains? Do you see the singing and the praying? Believe in that. That is ultimately what is powerful. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that same hour, the guard takes them, washes their wounds, and he and his entire family are baptized without delay. And he brings them into the house and sets food before them. And he and his entire household rejoice that he had become a believer in God. Notice what happens. Before, when we were following the ways of the world and the devil, it was an increasingly severe circumstance to keep people in line. What do we see finally when God's power comes into it? Oh yeah? Yeah. We see freedom, and we see ministry, and we see healing, and we see balm. We see people fed. We see people being empowered through the Holy Spirit. They have food laid before them. Conversation begins, and a fellowship begins. The message of the Christian faith is that we're all in this together, this thing called life. We all struggle. We all suffer. We all face our challenges. No one makes it through life unscathed. We know that, right? We're sophisticated enough in our faith to know that being a Christian does not guarantee a life of no problems. That's wildly unrealistic, but it also is not according to what ministry is all about, which is making a difference in the world in spite of pain and struggle and suffering. But what it does is it includes all people. And it includes all people in faith and hope and love and ministry. We go to Revelation 22 from our second reading. The Spirit and the Bride say, that's Jerusalem, come. The people all come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift come. Everyone is included, even as late as Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, folks, your Bible's about out of juice. You've only got a couple of pages left, and guess what? Boom, you've read it. If you've read all the way through the Bible to that point, notice that people are being invited. Everyone, come. And then John 17, Jesus speaking with the Father. Now, John can get pretty complicated. God talking to the Father about how he's one with the Father and all these things. But what is the message that shines through again today? I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. They may all be one. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I made your name known to them, in verse 26, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And that's the reason why it works. The reason why it works isn't because you and I are perfect. The reason that it works isn't because we're all high and mighty, and we know better than everybody else insofar as the way the world works or whatever the current new thing might be. The reason that it all works and we gather together as Christians in faith and in love is because Christ is placed within us. I made your name known to them. I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's why Jesus says, you and I, our body is a temple. We are a temple. We are the living, breathing manifestation of God's love and power in this world. That's why Jesus says that we are the body of Christ. The hands, the feet, the eyes, and the ears. Each one of us are different members of that body of Christ, all with different gifts and different abilities, but yet we are all one. And that's the message for today. We are empowered because we are not isolated, alone, thrown into the deepest, darkest prison of sin and anxiety. Instead, the chains are burst, and we are free through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love and presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So that's our message for today. We are all one. Now in life, there might be some noises and distractions that try to keep you from hearing God's message. But stay true to point. Stay true to point. Keep your ears open physically and spiritually. And when you see that incredible moment come together where God's love and God's power are manifest, and you know that this is a place where you and only you can act. Might be in a relationship with someone or caring for someone, making that phone call or sending that text or that email, being part of somebody else's life. You know that you are the one that day that can make that difference. Then do it. Do it. And show that you are one in the body of Christ. It is freedom. It is love. It is light. Go forth. Blessed. Amen.